With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
You're listening to Achtung Norwalk, broadcasting from the beautiful South Burnham. Accept no substitute.
Hello, dear listeners. Welcome to Achtung Norwalk. My name is Nick Hart, and you're listening to the second in our series of Christmas shows relating to Millwall objects of historical and cultural significance. Sounds a bit like Borat, doesn't it? But no, I'm trying to look at some images that have been sent to me over time or have come my way, which I think have some kind of story or Millwall historical significance attached to them. And on that note, we did the first one yesterday, and so this is a second follow-up show, and I'm really pleased to have been sent an image by Dej Kempster. Big thank you to Dej for this image, who sent on Twitter a picture of a fantastic medal that he's acquired, and it's a Southern League Championship medal from 1894 to 95 season, dear listeners, in the name on written on the back of A. Law, who I found out is Abraham Law, who's a goalkeeper for the Lions in the inaugural season of the Southern League, which we were champions of in that first season of 1894 to 95. We'd actually go on and win it twice. We'd win it the following season as well, 1895 to 96. It's a beautiful medal. It has a kind of like a star quality. I will stick an image of it online, front and back, because both have interest in my opinion. It's like, you know, looks like something that you'd get in terms of Order of the Garter or something. It's got that kind of quality to it. It's kind of a star-like image. It's not, it's a multi-pointed star. Southern League Championship Millwall, 1894-95 is the wording. And on the back is A. Law. And then makers of the medal, I think. It's hard to tell what that says. It looks like AC Cadner, something of that kind, maybe manufacturers of the medal. So, yeah, Abraham Law's championship medal. It's a beautiful piece of memorabilia, Dej. Big thank you for sending it in to me. If you listeners have anything of that you'd want me to have a look at, more than happy, do stick it on Twitter, or if you want to send it to me more privately by direct message or by email or text it to me, WhatsApp it to me. More than happy to get this kind of stuff. It's I find it fascinating. As a, like I said yesterday in the first show, I'm a bit of a sucker for antiques roadshow type shows. And although this is not a visual production as an audio podcast, I will put the pictures online and hopefully that will give you a sense of the item that we're talking about. So this is Abraham Law's championship medal, as we've said. I just want to give a few details about Abraham Law. And there's only one place that I turn to when I'm looking for Millwall biogs and details of players from the past, and that is Neil Fissler's Millwall Who's Who. Shout out to Neil Fissler. I know he's probably listening out there. Hope you're getting better, Neil. Abraham Law, goalkeeper, 1894 to 96, dear listeners. 24 games for the Lions, or the Dockers, I should call them, because at this time we were Millwall Athletic, playing at the Athletic Ground on the island. So therefore the Dockers. Abraham was born in Dudley on the 2nd of December 1872, and he died in Hampstead on the 22nd of March 1944, during the Second World War. He would play for Millwall Athletic in 1894, join West Bromwich Albion in 1896, and then Stafford Rangers in 1897. He made his debut for the Dockers against Swindon Town on the 29th of September 1894 in a 9-0 win. This was a very successful season for us, dear listeners. A little bit of a biography here I've got. Dockers' inaugural season in the Southern League saw three goalkeepers tried in the first four games, one of which was Abe, Abraham, Abe, who appeared in their first ever match in a competition. He then played second fiddle to W. Gibson as the Dockers won the Southern League title in 1894-95. But he was the first choice the following season, 95-96, when they retained their crown, playing in every game but two matches. Abe moved on to West Bromwich Albion and made one appearance for the First Division outfit in the Football League. He was appointed as an assistant master to Marylebone Board Schools, so he became a school teacher in February 1899, and remained in the teaching profession until he retired, passing away in 1944, as we've said. It was quite interesting. I took a little look through Lions of the South, dear listeners, just because it was the first season of the Southern League, and I was quite interested to see what led the club into that competition. And it turns out that we, Millwall FC, were prime movers in the creation of the Southern League. The Football League had, of course, famously been created in 1888, but that was more of a northern competition. Some of the big clubs up north were members of the Football League, most of the big ones. But down south, there was nothing until Millwall became the driving force. Millwall Athletic became the driving force behind the creation of that Southern League, which we would go on to win in the first season. Just looking at the league table in 1894-95, we'd actually go through the season unbeaten. 16 games played, so there'd be, what, eight teams? Two, four, six, eight, nine teams, home and away. So played 16, Millwall won 12, drew 4, scored 68 goals in 16 games, conceding just 19 in return, 28 points. We'd finish 6 points ahead of Luton Town in second position. Southampton St Mary's, as they were called at this point, in third on 20. Bottom of the table in this inaugural season, Swindon Town. Other teams involved in the competition: Ilford, Reading, Chatham, the Royal Ordnance, who I think played over at in the Arsenal, the Woolwich Arsenal, also Clapton and Swindon, as we've said. These were big heady days for Millwall Athletic. We'd been formed ourselves not terribly long before this championship win. We obviously were created on the Island of Dogs as a kind of a factory kickabout side in 1885. So to go from being, you know, a works team in 1885, and then within, what, 9 years, a team capable of winning a championship with some fairly substantial opponents there, I think it's got to be said. I mean, the Southern League would strengthen. Tottenham and Arsenal, I think, would join for a period anyway in the years to follow. Tottenham would become the only Southern League side to win the FA Cup in 1901, I believe. Which you have to check that. But we would be founder members, and slightly strangely, if you like, Millwall saw the Southern League as their baby. Having won the championship in 1894-95, an invitation would actually be received from the Football League to join it, and as a second division member of the Football League, which, with the benefit of hindsight, would have been a massive, massive step forwards for Millwall Athletic Football Club. We, in our inimitable Millwall style, would refuse that invitation. We would turn it down. Arsenal instead would press on and become members of the Football League. I think Spurs would do during the 1900s, in the Edwardian era. But Millwall would turn it down in typical Millwall style. And James Murray tries to consider some of the reasons for that decision, which, as he says here, I'm just reading verbatim from Lions of the South here, listeners. The reasons for Millwall not to join the league are hard to grasp today, but the main one was simply the club did not relish the prospect of paying large sums of money in travel like their neighbours Arsenal would do. The club had become a limited company earlier on in the year, and tighter controls on travel expenses were the main issues. There we are. Ambition taking second place to the travel kitty. How very Millwall. Would we have it any other way? I don't know. James describes it as the worst decision in Mill's history, and probably that's very, very true. We would become the famous Lions of the South, of course, Southern League mainstays, bastions, but you've still got to consider the impact that joining the Football League may have made on the history of our club. We would have been something very, very different, almost certainly. So there we are. So that's a fantastic item, Dej. The Southern League Championship medal belonging to Abraham Law for 1894-95. And as I say, I will stick an image of that online. So that was an extra. That was not quite a request. I don't mind if people want to send me images, because I don't. It's really good to get to grips with some of these items, and it could be anything. And I hope that's going to be displayed by my next choice of Millwall item of historical and cultural significance. And this is a ticket. It's a 1946 ticket for Aston Villa. Millwall versus Aston Villa. Or Aston Villa versus Millwall, I should put it the right way round. This was a game played, an FA Cup tie, played on January the 28th, 1946. Kick-off 2:15pm. That was a Monday afternoon. Kick-off 2:15pm. It's the second leg, the FA Cup for 1945-46, in the aftermath of the Second War, was the only time in FA Cup history that it was played as a two-legged competition. All of the rounds from the third round up until the quarterfinals, the sixth round, were played as home and away legs. Not quite in the modern style of having some gap between the two games. The first leg for this game was played at the Den on the 26th of September 1946, and that would finish as a 4-2 win for Aston Villa, who were flying high at the time, and Millwall not so much. But it was Aston Villa put four past us at the Den, Lions replying with just two. But the second leg would take place on the Monday, so Saturday to Monday afternoon, so 48 hours later, we'd play the second leg. And it would unfortunately finish in one of the club's record defeats, for which I do have a match report here. It would finish Aston Villa 9-9 to Mills 1, Mill Athletic 1. And I found a match report from the Daily News Chronicle, reported here by Charles Buchan himself, famous name. Villa's forwards at their best get 9 goals, says Charles Buchan. Aston Villa won through to the fifth round of the FA Cup at Villa Park yesterday without ever getting out of a canter. Millwall were hopelessly outclassed, and had it not been for the brilliant work of goalkeeper Dunkley, the score would have reached cricket proportions, says Charles Buchan. He continues, apart from the obvious superiority of the Villa, I felt the game was lost in the Mill dressing room when it was decided to play Ford at centre-half. Ford had pulled a thigh muscle on Saturday and was in no fit state to play a cup tie. In his limping condition, so he's limping from the very start, he couldn't cope with the fast combined raids of Broom, Edwards and Iverson down the centre of the field. The other Mill defenders were not fast enough to cover him, as the Villa inside forwards took the ball through almost at will. He does go on to give some praise later on in the report, which I won't read all. Buchan says, I must say that Millwall stuck manfully to their hopeless task and never stooped to questionable tactics. He mentions Dudley Brawley, Tom Brawley, J.R. Smith and Tyler. We're often beaten, but never disgraced, says Charles Buchan. So yeah, a 9-1 loss in the second leg of the FA Cup. That will be up there with the club's record defeats. I don't know where. I think it does stand as a proper result because it was the FA Cup. So some of the wartime leagues would still have been in existence. I'm not sure if they stand as full-scale results because of the use of guest players. So I don't know where this match sits in the kind of club's records in that sense. But the ticket itself is an interesting one. This is one that I think that Andy sent me, Andy Sullivan. And this is, given that it was the away leg, it's listed as Millwall versus Aston Villa. So the home side first in the modern sense, but I don't think they were so rigid about that approach in the past. But this is certainly the leg played at Aston Villa Football Club. It's got their address written at the top. Monday, 28th of Jan, 1946, kicking off at 2:15. No floodlights back then, kids. English Cup replay. English Cup, interesting term as well. We had the Scottish Cup, don't we? But we came to lose that sense of it being the English Cup. The replay, as I call it, rather than the second leg. Price to get in was £6. Younger listeners might want me to explain what a shilling is, I suppose, mightn't they? I'm old enough to remember us switching over from the old imperial system on decimal day in 1971 when we went to the current 100 pennies to the pound system. But back then, prior to 1971, within my living memory, dear listeners, we had 20 shillings to the pound, 12 pennies to the shilling. So we had this kind of three-way split of a pound note. Complicated, to say the least, in retrospect. But it gave you all sorts of weird and wonderful half crowns, which was 2 shillings and sixpence and sixpences and threepenny bits and 10-shilling notes, all sorts of things that sound like you're in Billy Bunter's dorm or something when you're saying back. But yeah, I do remember switching from shillings, pound shillings and pence, LSD, but not the drug. So this was a 6-shilling seat in row I, seat 69 of the Trinity Road, block D. Unusual to have a ticket for a game back then, I suppose. That's one of the things that when I did the Wall Talk interview the other day with young Max, he asked me about how did we get tickets when I first started going in 72. And of course, the answer is we didn't have tickets back then. And I said it then, I'll say it again, if Max is listening. Back then, you paid your money on the gate. And what that meant was it was actually quite rare, comparatively rare, to have a ticket. They tended to represent a seat. And if you were in the seats, you were paying more to watch your game of football, implied a bit of wealth, I suppose. So unusual to see them. And this ticket has made its way through the ages down now to Andy Sullivan's collection. And there's a picture he sent me a while back. I did have the idea of doing like a photo book of stuff like this. And I may yet come back to it. Or if anyone else steals the idea in the meantime, then damn your eyes, as they say in Charles Dickens's villainous times. So there we are. Millwall, Aston Villa 9, Millwall 1, ticket for the Trinity Road, Block D, Row I, 69. 6 shillings, Governor.
Achtung, Millwall.
So finally, we've covered the tickets and we've covered a championship medal. And just to give a bit of a sense of how I want to approach these shows, it's anything and everything. We've had a ski hat in the previous edition of this particular take on Achtung Millwall. But this time around, I'm going to feature a commemorative mug. And it's one made for the 2000 and 2001 season. Division 2 champions, Millwall Football Club, with the Lions, kind of, I call them patter cake lions, the two lions facing each other, with Millwall in it as a kind of a scroll underneath it. Not the Roaring Lion badge, it's the old one that we wore over the years, and then Theo revived it, I think, for his period in charge. And I think he revived it because he felt that the old Roaring Lion was rather too fierce for the kind of image that he wanted to create for the club. But anyway, this is a gold edged white mug. Looks like the kind of thing, I can't remember now, it's relatively recent season in my time, although that is, what, 20, 22 years ago nearly, 21 years ago, so it still seems very recent in my mind, consequence of age, dear listeners. But it's a white mug, it looks like the kind of thing that you'd get from, on order, as a kind of like a, was it the Danbury Mint used to do stuff in the newspapers, commemorative stuff. This is reasonably nicely done. It's quite discreet. It's gold leaf kind of edging. The Millwall Football Club is written in a gold italic style. Division 2 champions 2000-2001 underneath are a Millwall patter cake badge, which is in red, white, gold and blue. Quite nicely done. I can't remember if the club did these or whether you'd have to get it privately made in some way. I don't know. It looks like the kind of thing you could have a nice mug of tea from, though probably you wouldn't use it because it's too good for going in the dishwasher, because you wouldn't want to lose all the leaf and stuff off of it. The 2000 and 2001 season, we've covered quite a few times over the years, so I don't want to go too deeply into it beyond saying it was one of the most wonderful seasons ever. I can only think of 1988, the promotion season, then the Division One days that come really close to it in terms of enjoyability. From a personal point of view, it was at a certain time in my life. I think I bought a season ticket for the first time the year before under Rhino Macca. This would have been under Mark McGee's management, of course, this season. Cheer up, Mark McGee. But there's some wonderful, wonderful performances. I'm just looking at Rotherham, 4-0, promotion rivals. We dispatched them with aplomb at the Den. You've got some classic players. Tony Warner in goal. I'll read out the team for the last day. The 5-0 win over Oldham. Played in front of 19,000? 18,500 at the Zampa Road. So Tony Warner in goal, Matt Lawrence, Robbie Ryan, David Livermore, Sean Dyche, Stuart Nevercott, Lucas Neal, Tim Cahill, Neil Harris, Paul Moody, Stephen Reid, and substitutes that day, Mark Bertram, Christoph Kine. Say no more. There's not really much more you can say to any Millwall fan that lived through that great season, other than the fact it left a personal mark that will be with me forever. It will remain one of the most enjoyable seasons for the reasons that I've described, and we'll go no further on that front either. Wonderful times, wonderful days, the glory days. And I don't know who sent this to me. I've had it for a little while, so I'm going to apologise to the owner of the mug. It's a nice piece of... it looks like it's got like a bone china type quality to it. So it's really nicely done. I will stick a picture of this online. I won't go much further into the 2000-2001 season because it's been done a good few times over the years. So there we are. We have Mr. Law's League Championship medal. We have the ticket from 1946. And we have a bone china mug commemorating 2000 to 2001, and that's the kind of thing that I want to achieve with these little shows. It's the items and the personal impact and the stories that come from them that make them more than what they are as individuals, if that makes any kind of sense whatsoever. Then good luck to you, because I'm not sure it does to me. But there we are. So we're going to do another show like this, I hope tomorrow, for not quite the 12 days of Christmas, but as my old mum used to say, once you got past New Year's Eve, it's all over anyway. So we're not going to do the full 12 days of Christmas. We're going to do a few shows over Christmas whilst we get we dwell on the impending doom of what appears to be a lockdown ahead. But there we are. We won't take it down. So until tomorrow's show, dear listeners. If you do have any items you want me to look at and have a little think about and see what I can come up with, do Twitter them to me or send them to me by one method or another. More than happy to do that. Big thank you to everyone that sent these images to me, Andy, to Dej, and to another. I can't remember who it was who sent me this. I've had it such a long time, and it's great to be able to finally make use of it. So, but anyway, until tomorrow's show, dear listeners, thank you for listening. Arrivederci Millwall. Bye for now.
This is the start announcement. Mr. Den has left the stadium.